Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda I don't know who's speaking to me, whether it's the super soul or my wayward mind. There's always fear in the world. There's always apprehension, always. So, but at the moment, it's kind of rampant and exaggerated. So there's even fear in my heart, I have to admit. And the fear is that I will speak out of line and be banned from giving class. That's my fear. That, you know, I'm not a politically correct view. I'm Krishna conscious, a little bit. And Krishna consciousness is not politically correct. It's in opposition with the status quo. The way the world runs itself is running itself to hell. And promoting and developing and enjoying fear. Because it's a great exploratory method. If people are fearful, they'll do just what you tell them. So I thought, in a movement whose founder, whose first name, it means fearless, I thought I would precede the class with a quote from, this is Bhagavad Gita as it is, by the Divine Grace, Isi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Some of you may have seen this book on the shelf. Chapter 10 is the opulence of the absolute, and texts 4 and 5 read, intelligence, knowledge, freedom from doubt and delusion, forgiveness, truthfulness, control of the senses, control of the mind, happiness and distress, birth, death, fear, fearlessness, nonviolence, equanimity, satisfaction, austerity, charity, fame, and infamy, all these various qualities of the living beings are created by me alone and from the purport. Birth and death apply to one's embodiment in the material world. Fear is due to worrying about the future. A person in Krishna consciousness has no fear because by his activities he is sure to go back to the spiritual sky, back home, back to Godhead. Therefore, his future is very bright. Others, however, do not know what their future holds. They have no knowledge of what the next life holds. So they are therefore in constant anxiety. If we want to get free from anxiety, then the best course is to understand Krishna and be situated always in Krishna consciousness. In that way, we will be free from fear. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 2, Text 37, it is stated, Abhayam vititai bhyani veshita sat. That is to say, fear is caused by our absorption in the illusory energy. But those who are free from the illusory energy, those who are confident that they are not the material body, that they are spiritual parts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and who are therefore engaged in the transcendental service of the Supreme Godhead, have nothing to fear. Their future is very bright. This fear is a condition of persons who are not Krishna conscious. Abhayam, fearlessness, is possible only for one in Krishna consciousness. So if you'd like to review it, it's accessible. You probably have a copy somewhere hidden in your house. All right, we'll proceed. This is Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter 17, text 104, and it has a really rich purport. There's something wrong with the camera? Everything's okay up there?
Yeah.
Okay. Pakashananda Sipada Sabde Vishya Vedanta Pada Bahu Shishya Gana Lana. Maybe I should say that a few more times. Pakashananda Sripad Sabde Sabde Vishya. Huh?
Sabhate Goshiya.
Sorry. Can you read it for me?
Prakashananda Sipat Sabhate Goshiya.
Prakashananda Sipat Sabhate Goshiya.
Vedanta Paran Bahushi Saganaya.
Vedanta Paran Bahushi Saganaya.
Even the D is actually R, Paran. Prakashananda Sipat Sabhate Goshiya.
Proceed? Thank you. Word for word, or synonyms in this instance. Prakashananda.
Prakashananda.
Sripa. A great sannyasi. Sabhate.
In the assembly.
Vaishya.
Sitting down.
Vedanta. Vedanta philosophy. Padana, instructs, Bahu, many, Shishya Gana, disciples, Lana, talking, taking, sorry, man, taking. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. There was a great Mayavada sannyasi named Prakashananda Saraswati who used to teach Vedanta philosophy to a great assembly of followers. And surprisingly enough, there's a really long purport. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Sripad Prakashananda Saraswati was a Mayavada sannyasi. And his characteristics have been described in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya Kanda, chapter 3. Prabhu, would you mind reading it?
Asasaram Gamora,
Thank you very much. You read the other one also?
Yeah.
And in the Majikan, chapter 20, it is said, and you read that also, right?
Yeah.
Thank you. Hard for me to follow. I've been reading road signs for the past 2 or 3 days, reading road signs. Okay. Prakashananda Saraswati used to explain impersonalism, the absolute truth, as being without hands, legs, mouths, or eyes. In this way, he used to cheat the people by denying the personal form of the Lord. Such a foolish person was Prakashananda Saraswati, whose only business was to sever the limbs of the Lord by proving the Lord impersonal. Although the Lord has form, Prakashananda Saraswati was attempting to cut off the hands and legs of the Lord. This is the business of demons. The Vedas state that people who do not accept the Lord's form are rascals. Talk about politically incorrect. People are rascals, right? Okay, and you call them on that. It's not an insult. That's what they are. Yeah. And people who cut the Lord, you know, that's what demons do. And it's not, it's only an observation of what they do, right? But as far as status quo goes, that's not a very pleasant statement. No, it doesn't jar with what the population likes to consume. It's not. That's what they do for entertainment. They watch some flick, people getting cut, and you see blood, and then, oh good, it's not me. The Vedas state that people who do not accept the Lord's form are rascals. The form of the Lord is factual. For Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Vedasya Savir Aham Eva Veda, when Krishna says Aham, he says, quote, I am, end quote, which means, quote, I, end quote, the person. He adds the word Eva, which is used for conclusive verification. It is by Vedanta philosophy that one has to know the Supreme Person. Whoever describes Vedic knowledge as impersonal is a demon. One becomes successful in life by worshipping the form of the Lord. The Mayavadi sannyasis deny the form of the Lord, which delivers all fallen souls. Indeed, this form is cut to pieces by Mayavadi demons. The personality of Godhead is worshipped by exalted demigods like Brahma and Lord Shiva. The original Mayavadi sannyasi, Sankaracharya, also accepted the fact that the Lord's form is transcendental. Narayana Paro Vyaktat, quote, Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is beyond the avyakta, the unmanifested material energy, end quote. Avyaktad ananda sambhava, quote, this material world is a creation of the unmanifested material energy, end quote. However, Narayan has his own eternal form, which is not created by material energy. Simply by worshipping the form of the Lord, one is purified. However, Mayavadi sannyasis are impersonalist philosophers, and they describe the form of the Lord as Maya, or false. How can one be purified by worshipping something false? There's a good question. How can one be purified by worshipping something false? Well, the answer probably follows right here. Mayavadi philosophers have no sufficient reason for being impersonalist. They blindly follow a principle that cannot be supported by reason or argument. This was the situation with Prakashananda Saraswati, the chief Mayavadi sannyasi of Benares. He was supposed to teach Vedanta philosophy, but he would not accept the form of the Lord. Therefore, he was attacked with leprosy. Nonetheless, he continued to commit sins by describing the absolute truth as impersonal. The absolute truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, always displays pastimes and activities, but Mayavadi sannyasis claim that these activities are false. Stupid! Not intelligent, covered by the mode of ignorance, and professing it to others. Now we shift gears. Last paragraph. Some people falsely claim that Prakashananda Saraswati later became known as Prabodhananda Saraswati, but this is not a fact. Prabodhananda Saraswati was the uncle and spiritual master of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. In his grihastha life, Prabodhananda Saraswati was a resident of Sri Rangakshetra, and he belonged to the Vaishnava Ramanuja Sampradaya. It is a mistake to consider Prakashananda Saraswati and Prabodhananda Saraswati as the same man. There's no need to refute this, but okay, well, I decided to look in one of Srila Prabhupada's books for reference to both personalities, and there's a quote from Prabodhananda Saraswati in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and he's recognized as a very high, self-realized Vaishnava. And then, and that's only mentioned in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya about it. This is a quotation of one of his prayers. Beautiful. And then there are several chapters about Prakashananda Saraswati and the exchange that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had with him. It's definitely worth a read. It's beautifully summarized in, you know, three chapters of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And every piece of evidence that which Prabhupada hints at here in this purport, every piece of evidence that defeats the fallacious concepts that the Mayavadis promote, right? It's full of error and it has no basis in argument, no rationale whatsoever. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very politely and very precisely defeated this argument totally. The whole Chaitanya Charitamrita, I mean, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, one argument after another versus the Mayavadi philosophy. If you really want to be armed and dangerous in relation to the world, because the world embraces Mayavadi philosophy, it does. Deny God. He doesn't exist. Doesn't have a body. Doesn't have pastimes. It's just some theory, right? And then beyond that, the Buddha says, there's nothing. So enjoy here, right? Krishna's body is real spirit, and our body is Maya. Our body is Maya. The three modes of material nature. It's just Maya. This stuff is Maya. Underneath is the subtle body, or over it, the ethereal body. That's also Maya. It's all illusion. You believe that this flesh and bone is you, and they believe that your mind and intelligence and your false ego are you? You got a big problem. But Krishna doesn't have false ego. He's just who he is. And underneath all these layers, there's a real spirit soul here. Same part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And to deny Krishna's body is to promote our body. Now, there's no God in control, and he doesn't have any real pastimes. He's just a historical figure, and he's not transcendental, and he doesn't have power over anything. And there's an interesting reference in this purport that says, because if he promoted this philosophy, he fell victim to a very serious disease, leprosy. It's real. It affects the body. It's a very real disease, but it affects the body. So it's also mine. And there's some current parallel in the news about people afflicted with some minor ailment. Right? That this is us out of the work of God, payback for embracing the Mayavadi philosophy. It really is. That's all it is. It's the hand of God. He's everywhere. And I was mentioning one devotee visited before I left, and he was going to Japan with his family. And the airlines canceled the flight. And the father, who's a real, he's really Japanese. He's fearful. The Japanese are very fearful. You know. Anyway, although they pretend to be fearless, they are actually fearful. Underline. Everybody, if it's supposed to rain, everybody carries an umbrella, and as soon as the first drop hits, they open the umbrella. It's phenomenal, phenomenal. Anyway, he was so relieved that the airlines canceled the flight. Because they get their money back and didn't have to go and all that. So he was so relieved. And I sat with his son. His son is very nice to Bodhi. And I said, and he said to me, after I spoke to him, he said, "You should go to class." I said, "Well, that's very rare around here, but I'll try sometime." And then I was scheduled for this class. He said, tell people what you said. So I said, in a battle, you know, bloodbath, when there's a war between two sides, and people are getting shot all over the place, right? Or cut down. There are physicians on the battlefield, and nurses also. And they don't get killed. They're protected. And then also in a plague, you can see the history of plagues. There are a lot of plagues, right? A lot of plagues in history, right? And then why? Because history repeats itself, that's why. And because it's always karmic reaction, that's why. Right? During that time, the medical professionals and the nurses who are attending to people who are sick, inches away from people breathing the plague and tending to their maladies and trying to comfort them and cushion them and care for them, they are not affected by the disease. Srila Prabhupada used this parallel that devotees, you know, the world is a diseased place, and the devotees are, because the disease is Maya, the devotees who are forefront promoters of purifying the heart and elevation of the soul, they will be not affected by the disease condition. And so, free from Maya. If you're pushing on to give Krishna consciousness to others. Yeah, you know. Of course, you come in contact with people every day who are seriously ill with the disease of illusion and ignorance. And you give them the medicine in the form of a book, or you give them the medicine in the form of Harinam, and they somehow begin their recovery. And it doesn't affect you. I've been on Harinams in huge cities with millions of, not millions, tens of thousands of people walking by constantly. And I sensed that the Harinam was encased in a bubble of transcendental energy. It just felt like that. And people would be able to freely come and go out of it. And we would ask questions, and we were able to reach out and give information to other people. But as far as the aura of the Harinam, it was really like a protective device. Protective device. In the 50s and 60s, there was some commercial for toothpaste, and it's an invisible protective shield around your teeth. When you brush your teeth with this chemical, then it would invisibly protect your teeth from bacteria or whatever. It's just selling chemicals. But they use the same parallel. If you're chanting Hare Krishna, Bhakti Siddhartha Saraswati, he promotes this. He says, so many comments from him relate to the risk of death and the protective device of giving Krishna consciousness to others. So many. Yeah. Well, we'll look deeper into the purport, okay? A little bit more into the purport. You see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu purposely, if you want to know a little more of the backstory, He purposely avoided accepting anyone's. He had the option. This is his maintenance as a sannyasi. He had the option of not accepting anyone's invitation for lunch. This is his choice. A sannyasi has independence. And in fact, in a previous reading, it was explained that two devotees were living in Benares, and they monopolized the lunch program for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Only they requested him directly, only accept lunch from me. But in the course of time, there was another brahmana, and brahmana probably means a sannyasi brahmana. He invited all the sannyasis. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had been criticized by these sannyasis. And in that instance, he accepted the lunch invitation. As the story goes, he entered into the hall. Most of you know the story. And he sat down where people were taking their shoes off. I mean, he took, or not the shoes off, but where they would wash their feet, the entranceway. And sannyasis always, no shoes, barefoot. But there's entrance where people will wash their feet. Right? So, but he sat there, apart from the assembly, and as he sat there in his natural transcendental placidity, he glowed. In other words, effulgence was visible, or he allowed them to see it. In other words, he allowed them a revelation that they saw his effulgence. And then they were, they couldn't take their eyes off him. So they approached him gently. Why don't you come and sit with us? Well, you know, I'm not as qualified as you. I'm a low sannyasi, really low, new guy, new boy, right? And I don't match your level of understanding. And then there was inquiry. The inquiry is, we see that you're, you know, romping around, just singing and, you know, getting people crazy with the Maha Mantra. And that, why are you not sitting and reading the Bhagavad Gita? Right? Now, this is the same personality that was known as, what's his name? Known as Nitai Pandit, who had his own school, own Sanskrit school, right? Anyway, and who wandered around the hub of knowledge, Navadvip, purposely challenging other Brahmanas. And at some philosophical point, and he would challenge them. And then he would completely defeat them, their argument, completely defeat them. And then he would shift gears, take their side, and defeat his argument. Just for fun. That was his fun. But part of the fun was putting the brahmanas in place. Even we had the depiction of some of his early childhood pastimes. He did the same thing. When he was taunting the brahmanas, when they were chanting Gayatri and swimming between their legs, stealing their clothes, and when they get out all clean, he would throw sand at them again, you know, and he would go to the women's ghat and the men's ghat to switch clothes. I mean, a troublemaking kid. But what was the purpose of this troublemaking was to have people self-scrutinize. Are you really a brahmana? Are you really a brahmana? Right? Are you really tolerant? Are you really equal poised? If someone steals your gumshoe, do you get all upset? Yeah. If someone stole your bead bag, that would be a good reason to get upset. Because that's your service. All right? But someone steals some of your clothes, and say, well, that person must have needed your clothes more than you. If the brahmana or the Vaishnava is specifically free from anxiety about anything, not caring, Krishna will preserve it. Even if someone steals your bead bag, they must need it more than you. And you get another one. You steal someone else's. But you do that simply to see if the other person is peaceful or not. Right? I saw this Russian film. It was about a monk. He was an isolator. He was a mystic. He could heal people. He was living in a desolate area. And he was chopping out the earth to find coals, just to keep himself alive, more or less. And he didn't care whether he was alive or not. He's living in an amazing environment. And there was another priest, and the priest was approaching him, and the priest had been given beautiful charity of high boots, all insulated boots, and some other nice coat. And he said, "Well, I will stay with you." He wanted to see how austere he was. And this monk was living in a cave. He was living in a, really, just a dug-out piece of the earth, and burning coals that he was chopping out of the ground himself, and then they would sleep on the earth, right, inside the cave. And that during the night, the priest took his boots off, and the monk put them in the fire. Beautiful red boots. Right? And he did it to test the mentality of the priest. To show that how can you elevate others if you're attached to this material possessions? How can you say you're free from the material world when your prized possession are your shoes? How can you? Like this question in the middle of the purport, it specifically asks. You know, this is a rhetorical question. Prabhupada's posing the question, how can one be purified by worshipping something false? Right? Yeah, you can worship the golden calf. Right? Golden calf from biblical story. Worship the golden calf. You worship a statue. But okay, many of us come before the statues of the Supreme Personality of God. And other people are bathing and dressing in the statues of the Supreme Personality of God. But his form is transcendental. It has nothing to do with illusion. And within that form is a reminiscence or a recollection or a cognition of his pastimes. In these forms, he performed pastime, personal pastime. He interacted with many, many people. Everyone, including the demons, was liberated. And we are his servants. Same performance of activities. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes are ongoing, current, now. And Krishna and Balaram's pastimes, current, now. Loving devotional service is current now. If it's embraced properly, then it will elevate other people simply by associating with those current pastimes. There are so many lost souls suffering anxiety mostly due to ignorance. They're living in the dark. They've latched the shutters and living in the dark. Okay, I'll share with you my current experience. Current experience. I had a really hard time yesterday. Really hard time. And driving on 95. You know, driving 95. Right? All the rest areas, not the rest areas, the bathrooms were open. And people outside with a pressure washer cleaning them, you know. And the signs, the welcome centers were closed. And the bathrooms in Georgia, all the way around the back. So I had a hard time because I chained a lot of extra rounds. And it was, so I got out of my car, walked all the way around and used the facility, and then walked back and thought, well, I better finish my rounds now because who knows what will happen next. So I'm chanting my rounds there, and everyone, you can see how many, every person who got out of the car got out with some level of anxiety. Of course, everybody has anxiety. We're just driving a car, you know, death is there. You know, there's so many reports, statistical reports now. I can't get away from them. People are quoting them to me. It's not really of any interest to me. But how many people are stricken with this disorder? I thought, well, how many traffic accidents have there been? That's another statistic. How many people have fallen sick with a different disorder? Right? There's so many statistics out there. Of course, there's a joke. Here's a joke for you. Because during these times of trial and tribulation, you have to maintain something. Krishna is the maintainer, and he always maintains this aspect. You can understand by looking at your own behavior that he maintains his sense of humor. So we must also maintain our sense of humor. Now, these are some unfunny jokes for you. There's a few unfunny jokes. Okay. Maybe just one. If you don't, you know, you don't like it, I can stop. But if it wasn't for maintaining my sense of humor, I would have left the movement long ago. You have to have a sense of humor. So, this one is, did you know that 86.3% of all statistics are made up at the moment? People just make them up. Huh? They make them up. And it's very impressive. You can use them in an argument. We have one, 8,400,000 species, right? And you say that to people. That's a Vedic statistic, right? That's a basic statistic. The length of Kali Yuga, those are different statistics. There are four animal propensities. That's actually statistical information, right? Right? Then there's the four ashrams, the four varnas and ashrams. But it's also data. It's statistical information. Some people like to play with numbers, right? The distance between here in the spiritual world, the seven layers, each one 10 times thicker than the other, immeasurable. In the writings of Tibet, the Tibetan Buddhism, that whenever they use 10,000, it means uncountable. If you saw 10,000 of anything, you wouldn't really be able to carefully count them. But now we have statistics in the trillions, and they're supposed to be really accurate. In fact, I borrowed Nagaraj's notes from his class, and he prints his notes or writes his notes on the back of proof copies from BTG. And on the back of one was, this is a statistical information. I don't know where it came from, but it was in the article. It said that for diversionary purposes and entertainment, the global expense for entertainment, escapism, get that? Getting away from your life. That means going to movies and plays and theater and concerts. $2.2 trillion. What if ISKCON were to cash in on like 1% of that? We have so much opportunity. We have the best stories and so much talent. All right? $2.2 trillion. If it forced the entire country, the world, to stop going to the movies, we could probably pay back the national debt. All right, that didn't work. That sounds too politically correct, doesn't it? No one is going to give up entertainment. Everyone loves entertainment. And they'll spend anything to do it. Why? Because life is not a pleasant experience for them. And, of course, on the other hand, Srila Prabhupada says, the devotees are not interested in cinema and dance shows and, you know, flaunting, what's this word? Leisure time. Always focused on the goal of eternal existence and sharing that target with others. And then and interacting with people. And one devotee came to me, don't hug anybody. It's a terrible disease. They were so afraid of everything. Right? And this is a devotee I helped to move from one place to the other. It was a very arduous move. Very arduous. They load up their stuff in a truck, and then the truck drove all the way 600 miles and then unload the truck. And for what purpose? Yes. So they can practice their Christian consciousness in peace. But their whole time, they were in anxiety. And they're warning me. No one hugs anyone anymore. Why? It's okay. I'm a doctor on the field. No matter if there's a plague, and I'm, you know, using my tongue depressor to examine the person's throat. Right? I'm not going to use it as a popsicle stick. You know? I'm not going to fall ill if I'm doing the Lord's work. And if the Lord decides that it's your time, I welcome it. If you welcome the fearful face of death, that's how those in illusion see death. I mean, for us, it's just a swinging door. It's a swinging door. It goes both ways. Doesn't matter. Go and into another life, do service. Another door in anxiety about this terrible, whatever it's called. People give it different names. You know. One person, what's the word? I had to look in the dictionary. They picked it up from the news. Pandemic. Pandas means the people in large. Pandas. Is it widespread epidemic? Epidemic is pretty much the same, but they're using different words. And then I decided, as long as I had the dictionary, I would look up the word virus and all the related words. Right? It comes from, you know, viral, vitreous, and virulence. Virulence. Prabhupada uses this word, virulence. It means poison. Right? And that definition for a virus is a group of entities who are destructive. Right? So when I read that, I thought, yeah, that sounds like the politicians. Yeah, that sounds like the pharmaceutical industry. Yeah, that's just what it sounds like. A group of entities who engage in destructive activity. Yeah? And then they have their servants. And the servants are little bugs. Little bugs. Right? And they do their bidding. But ultimately, you know, one devotee says, you're just a fanatic. You know, you have the conspiracy. I say, yeah, it is. There's a conspiracy. It's Kali. He's empowered by Krishna. Kali is empowered by Krishna to impose this type of test and trial on everybody. Did you see? Everyone's hygienic behavior is improving. Isn't that nice? But a brahmana is automatically clean. But there are options, you know. I was visiting a farm when I was up there, and there were two newborn calves. Two. Just one day apart. Beautiful calves. You know? Beautiful calves. And the mother's milk bag is so full. It just reminds me of the first Kanto Sloka where the milk bags are practically dragging on the ground and dripping milk. So full. Right? And one of the calves looks, when I left, it looked like it was going to die. It couldn't get up. Right? And he's trying to milk the mother, but he couldn't milk the mother. Mother was resistant. So, you know, it's sadness of someone passing away, especially a beautiful, pure calf. Right? So beautiful. But that's life. Life comes with only four guarantees. Four only. Right? Birth, death, disease, old age. And then there's birth again. Rebirth. That's the worst one. Because you just go through the same cycle again and again. It happens to every body. It doesn't happen to any soul. The soul is simply riding. Whoa, let's go. Another body. Okay, let's go. Right? One body after another body after another body. And with that, the same mentality can go there. So if your mentality and your intelligence becomes purified in the course of your practice of Krishna consciousness, then at least you're carried into a fresh form with a good mindset. And you won't buy into the illusory energy, at least not so readily. People are still going to hold you very close, and that's really nice, and still poke at you and tell you your name, and then tell you how beautiful you are. Oh, you're so beautiful. Right? Yes, they're going to do that. But you'll rise up to the same level of realization that you have at the very present moment. How's your present moment of realization? It's okay? Okay. So if you fall down the stairs, or there's no stairs here, but you go someplace where there's some stairs, and you fall downstairs, then you break your neck, and you're done, and you're no big deal. You find yourself at the top of the stairs again. Right? And if someone sneezes in your face, and then you decide that, oh, okay, here's a good excuse to curl up in a ball and pass away. It's all right. But that's what it's your choice. You can do that if you want. Back to the report for a second. And there's a long description of who this personality is. And then there's a contrast between this personality and the great Vaishnava. So this long list of who he is more or less describing his previous condition. And then, in the course of his good fortune, he came in contact with the personality of Godhead in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu poured forth the philosophy of personalism and elevated, of all people, the whole, which here it's in this group, this huge assembly of Prakashananda Sarasvati's followers became purified and realized and accepted, even in the course of the discussion, they accepted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's concrete evidence prior to Prakashananda Sarasvati. Right? So they became, first, they became guru. Even the most innocent people, those who seem to know everything, still benefit by the readout of reality. So I'm going to give this homework to you, and I'm going to have to do it myself, even though I remember having read the teachings of Lord Chaitanya at least 3 times. I don't retain it. I was impressed very much by the argument, very much, but I don't retain it. Because at heart, I'm an ingrained impersonalist. I embrace my identity as a body. And it's very convenient to deny God's personal exchange. At heart. And how can I purify that heart? It's only by exposure to the evidence. If I can defeat myself. Every person we meet in the Western world, more or less, likes impersonalism. As you mentioned it also several months ago, that the reason why is because impersonalist philosophy gives full license for sense gratification. And sense gratification relates to our illusory form, our material body, and our material, though subtle, mind and intelligence. Right? Sense gratification. We want to enjoy separate from Krishna. So, kill Krishna, no problem. Cut his legs and arms off. We don't have to serve him. We don't have to look at his... He doesn't have a face. Right? Oh, but also, on the way down, I was listening to Prabhupada's lecture. It was really difficult also. And Prabhupada, in the early lectures, he was saying, do it for Krishna. Eat for Krishna. Sleep for Krishna. Again, everything, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. If you do that, then you're automatic. This is such a simple formula for success. So here's the homework assignment. I would suggest and urge that you read the exchange in Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. I tried to find a copy. It wasn't here. Right? About Prakashananda Sarasvati and his disciples and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now that's probably sufficiently politically incorrect, and hopefully I didn't step on too many people's toes or minds. So if you forgive me, we'll conclude the class there. And if you have any comment or question, a correction or criticism, I'd be happy to hear it on a one-to-one basis. Or if those of you who are blessed to be listening online, or cursed to be listening online, you can contact me by telecommunications. This is my email address. Listen carefully now. All lowercase, MISTERDAS, that's Mr. Das, at Gmail. Or if you want to get on my case immediately, which is fine with me, all right, I'll check my phone after I finish my rounds. It's probably going to be about noon after yesterday. It's 336-327-1998. Right? I'll be happy to hear from you. Thank you very much for your attention. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. All glories to the assembled and unassembled devotees. Hare Krishna.